Blog Talk Radio.
Chiming in and listening to us on this beautiful Saturday afternoon here in Atlanta. I am just loving this weather. It's not always this way. You know, next week it could be like, you know, maybe anything can happen. You know, this is Georgia. Anything can happen. It might drop down. You have to bring out those winter coats again. Or then again, it could be scorching hot. You know, this is Georgia. Again, welcome to the show. We got a lot of great topics coming up, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. The events that have happened in the past week. Whew. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You really can't. You can't write a better script. It's just amazing, the stuff that's happening in politics. But there are some things, though, that has happened this week that is very frustrating and very upsetting. That has occurred. But we're going to get into all that. So in the meantime, I'm looking at the board. Oh, I got to open up the chat room. Let the chatters come in. And let me go ahead and say hello to them. I got to go ahead and post. All right. The chat room is open. And let's see. First on the board, I love when security shows up. You know, I love when security is there before everybody else. And, of course, in the house is Officer Crenshaw. What's up, my brother? How you doing? Happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday, Mike. What's going on? I don't know if I'm going to be here that long. I probably only got like maybe 10 minutes of life left, so I might die.
That's okay.
That's a toot on Janet. That's a toot on what Janet said last week.
Right. I remember that. Be like, don't say that. Don't say you might die. Just say that the power is going to, anything but I might die. Please don't say that.
That's my baby. That's my girl, though. I love Janet to death. To pieces.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say this. To pieces.
Yeah, it's
but
just
I'm
like
good.
A cartoon. I love the Mises to pieces, right? Right. Anyway.
Yeah,
she is really sweet. She's been the right hand for NML and TMGS for a long time. She's always been there and does a lot of the research, if not all, and really puts this all together, keeps the glue in order here. So I truly love and appreciate her very much. Let's see, 818-516. Hit your number one on the board so we can open up your mic. And you can say hello to everyone. There you go. And let me open up this mic. Caller, who is this?
This is a black man calling you.
Black man.
A black man.
What's that black man?
The black man's name is Timon Ship.
What's up, Brother Timon? How you doing?
I'm good. How you and Officer Crenshaw doing?
Oh, we're good. We're good. We're good. We're good.
Definitely.
They jump on TV and they say free, 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 free. We're good. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, there you go.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I'm giving folks some time to chime in. Let's see. I'm looking at the board. There's some folks. Okay. So I'm giving some folks some time to chime in before we get into the conversations. But I want to share something with you guys real quick before we go into the topics. I was honored the other day. I was asked to do a drop. You guys recall Mr. Bruce Sterling, former manager for Karen White. He's been on, and he was on with Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate! He's part of the band in the movie, right? And he asked me, would you do this drop? I want the person to hear. And I mean, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but to hear your voice, to do this voiceover for this product. And I'm like, sure, I'll do it. So, he sends me the little script, and I start reading. I'm like, wow, this is quite a bit to read here. I said, let me take a look at what this company is. And it's a furniture company. They do lighting and stuff, specialty stuff. Man, they got a dining room table for $6,000. Chairs not included. They had a bookcase for $3,000. It was on clearance. Normally it's $5,000. I'm like, I would be at room to go in a heartbeat and wouldn't even spend $6,000. I was like, what company is this? And I believe they only have like two locations nationwide. One is in Marina Del Rey, California, I believe, is what it said. Yeah, Marina Del Rey and Newport Beach, right. But I'm thinking, who spends this type, an ottoman, $2,000? Who? Well, of course, we know people can afford it. There are folks out there. Must be that 1%, right? But I was just in awe. The bed, they showed some a bed, started off at $7,000. It says starting at $7,000. Ain't no nightstands included. I'm like, really? Could
see,
you
Mike,
see yourself spending that type of money on a dining room table?
We thought it was that type of money when we were growing up because, like Timon said, it was all covered with plastic in our house, and you couldn't go into the room.
You got that right. You couldn't go into the living room. That was the company room. That was the room you were only allowed when company came over. Well, as kids, you really couldn't go in there because, the rule,
you don't hang around when grown folks are talking. You know, you don't hang around grown folks. You know.
Actually, Mike, the number one thing was paneling. Wood paneling. When my dad got put wood paneling in, man, he threw a party and was serving Gilby's gin. And his friend Smiley came in and said, "Ship, is that Gilby? Boy, that's paneling. Paneling. Boy, paneling. You didn't say paneling. You said paneling.
Paneling.
Yeah, that's what that was." And they, you know, that was that thing. And, you know, when I took wood shop, and I know why that table costs like that, because when you take wood shop, one, you're paying for whoever designed it, but you're also paying for, depending on what kind of wood that was. If that was like a mahogany, that's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's that type of wood that you're using that is what you're going to pay for, and that's what's going to cost you, and whoever designed it and whoever put it together.
And you know what's so funny, you know, because, right, they never put the G on there. It wasn't paneling. It was paneling, as you said. But what was really true, every piece was exactly the same. That fake, you know, knot in the wood or the you know, line, if you pay attention, it's all the same.
Oh,
no,
we still had cockroaches and rats. We still had rats, and we still had a house look good. Everybody's house is pretty much close to being condemned, but so, you know, hey, you know, you still heard these little feet running around in the nighttime, you know, because you didn't even want to get out of your bed. You had to pee. You didn't even want to get up out of your bed because you didn't know what you were going to run into.
That is so true. Let me open up. Since we talked her up, she's here in the house. Janet Davis, how are you doing on this beautiful Saturday here at the ATL?
I'm doing fantastic. I was busy helping a friend, cooking for her because she had surgery, and time got away from me, but I'm here now.
Oh, appreciate it. I hope your friend gets better. Well, she's recovering, right? He or she?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Recovering. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. That is great. And see, we were saying how you've been so helpful with everybody, how you've been so great here on the show. Be a good thing to say. Yeah. Officer Grinshaw, what do you think?
I can't,
well, gee,
I can't
thank
say
you.
That to Janet. Janet will get me.
Oh. All right, you guys. We're going to get
to the topic. Well, gee, thank you. You got me blushing.
Well, look, we're going to get into the topic, and Janet Davis put them together. But before we go into those, there was one, Janet, I forgot to bring to your attention. And I really want to check this out. It slipped my mind until last night, and I said, "Oh no, I must do this." I don't know if you guys heard this recording, but let me make sure I add it before I speak on it. But I just uploaded it to people that and I'm curious if you guys heard it. I'm searching for it. I'm searching for QR. Under Rick. Rick? Okay, I'm going to go for it. But even if I don't find it, I know I've heard it. Did anyone hear the comment that Rick Santorum made, or when he was speaking to a group of conservatives, group of young conservatives recently, and what he said about America? And how America was discussed.
Oh, yeah, I posted that.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I want you guys to take a listen to this. I mean, listen closely to what this man said. Here we go.
There isn't much Native American culture in American culture. We came here and created a blank slate. We birthed a nation. From nothing. I mean, there's nothing here. I mean, yes, we have Native Americans, but candidly, that there isn't much Native American culture in American culture. It was born of the people who came here pursuing religious liberty to practice their faith, to live as they ought to live. I don't know of any other country in the world that was settled predominantly by people who were coming to practice their faith. They came here because they were not allowed to practice their particular faith in their own country. And so they came here mostly from Europe, and they set up a country that was based on Judeo-Christian principles. When I say Judeo-Christian, the Mosaic laws, Ten Commandments, and the teachings of Jesus Christ, the moral and teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what our founding documents are based upon. It's in our DNA. You know, if you think of other countries like Italy and Greece and China and Turkey and places like that, they've all sort of changed over time. I mean, they've been there for millennia in many cases. And their culture has sort of evolved over time. But not us. Religious liberty. Those are the two bulwarks of America, faith and freedom. I mean, you hear it all the time about faith and freedom, faith and freedom. But it is what makes America unique in the world.
Who are the people?
Okay. Really, Rick? Came here to teach Judeo-Christian values? I mean, the Native Americans, wow. They weren't here. Oh, well, they were here, but they didn't know what they were doing. They seemed to be doing fine before the people you mentioned came here.
Mike, I don't think he read or watched any of the Christmas stories that we did coming up, because they didn't come from Europe to practice their religion. They ran from Europe to the United States because of Bogermeister and all of them guys that wouldn't let Claus, Kris Kringle, be Santa and all of that crap. So he's full of crap.
wouldn't let Santa be Santa.
As if the Indians didn't have a religion, you know.
Right. But the thing is, what you see is that the fact that he's going to say that, well, there's really no American history with the Native American. You just no American history with the Native American. Think about that.
Because it was stolen from it.
When you say that there's no indigenous culture, no Indian culture in America, okay, they were already here. You can talk whether you want to do 1619, whether you want to go 1492. There were people here. What they came here to do, because they were getting the hell out of Europe, and most of them were thrown out of Europe, they also came here raping and pillaging.
Mm-hmm.
And they took from people. They killed people. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The country's built on slavery. The country's built. All
exactly.
The wealth, this country is built on slavery. Okay, yeah, they created business and whatever, but slavery was a business. And they needed,
right.
So whatever they needed, whether it be tobacco or whether you were doing cotton or whatever you were doing, you had, you know, slavery was involved. The problem that they had, they didn't want to share. They wanted to dominate, and they wanted to – and everything was for the white man. It was not for – and that's why the Indian always said, God made this land for all of us. Why do you have to take it all? And they also stole – I mean, if it wasn't for the Indians, they wouldn't have known how to grow corn and vegetables and sand.
Right.
They were starving.
Right.
Mike, they were eating dead bodies. Can you imagine killing your wife that night and digging her up and eating her? That's how badly they were starving. If you read the People's History of the United States or any of that, he's lying. He don't know what the hell he's talking about. That's why they don't want white folks telling history. If you ain't going to tell it all and tell the truth and get to the nitty-gritty, you shouldn't even be telling it.
But isn't it sad though? When I'm saying that this is a person who has served in government. He's been a talking head on CNN. Why CNN keep dealing with him? And you know, there's been outcry about that, where folks immediately said to CNN, "No, let him go, let him go," like yesterday. Let him go.
Well, he's part of that group that Boehner told them, Mike. You know, he's part of when Boehner was talking about all the crazy that came into Congress. He was one of them. He's part of that whole. He's right up there with Ted Cruz and all the rest of them. DeSantis, all of them.
Oh yeah, the one that's here. Yeah, the one that's here in Georgia, here north of me. Right, her. Right. And but
most
of
them, all of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the countries that mentioned: Turkey, Italy. They're all white complected. So you know he's speaking on, well, that might not even be a word, complexed, but I made it up. But you know he's speaking from a white standpoint.
Right. Never mentioned anything about the continent of Africa, which, of course, we know the history, you know, that we were brought over here as slaves and everything. But to say that you created a country, but he failed, as Timon just said, he failed to mention the fact that it was built off of murder, pillaging, imprisonment, you know, the things that were done to people then. Now people say, well, that was so long ago. Well, damn, you don't say nothing about it. You want to go around it and seem like that really didn't exist, or not at the level that it did, or at the extreme that it did.
Mike, as I said,
they're trying to whitewash it as much as possible, and that's what's really sad because they're really whitewashing it. Go ahead. Time.
Right. I was on a podcast, and I was saying earlier today, I said, you burn down everything that black folks tried to create for their own. Okay, you say that you know, that like he say what he did for them. Okay, Thomas Jefferson claimed he was anti-slavery, but then again, he did not want to let slaves go. Why? Because he was making money off of them, and he was raping Sally Hemings. Because I'm not going to say that she decided to sleep with him. He took that girl was 14 years old when he started sleeping with her. You had
she
all
had
this raping and pillaging going on. You had all these people taking advantage, but yet, and everybody had slaves. You had all this free labor. And then as time went by, you wrote the Declaration of Independence that did not even include the Indian or the black man. We were only considered 3/5. Matter of fact, they're the ones that told us that we're black. They told you, you get one drop of blood in you, you're black. Black people.
Well, you know, it's
that.
Interesting that you said that. Because it's now, I listen to a lot of different people speak, but it really tickles me when a white person speaks about black history. It tickles me in a sense when they get it right. It tickles me because they're telling the truth. Tim Wise, in fact, Janet, you know I played some clips of Tim Wise, and he's direct.
That's right.
He don't make any words whatsoever. And people hate Tim Wise. And what is the lady's name who has these seminars where she'll have some white folks in a classroom and she challenges them? And there's videos of her. I can't think of her name. Is her last name Elliot, I think? Something around there. I have to look her up.
The little old white lady who talks about raise your hand if you want to change places with a black person?
Right, her. I can't think of her name. But she is, her and Tim Wise, I have a lot of respect for. Because they bring it real and raw. I'm speaking like of a show that is on the J. King Network, but they are. They're bringing it at them, and they really touch a nerve to individuals. See, now,
well,
I like
when you know the history, Mike, you can't bring it but real. I mean, it's like,
right.
I don't care. You can go down the line. Pick your subject. Whether you want to deal with the early 1900s, come through Jim Crow, come on down through the 60s and the 70s. All the history has been laid out. You want to go from Reconstruction? They'll tell you what they did. But if you want to know American history, you got to go dig for that stuff. You got to go.
Right.
It's out there, but you got to dig for it. And then it's been so – there's so much disinformation put upon by black people who don't want to deal with history and white people who don't want to deal with history. And when you find
that's
folks,
true.
You know, that – I mean, because mind you, Medgar Evers was killed because of why? Some black dude gave him up and told them he was infiltrated in NAACP. You had Black Panthers gone. Why? Brother gave them up. All black uprisings that were taken on by slaves were sold out by their own damn people.
And we're going to go into that. Okay, but so hold that thought, because I want to go into these other topics, and then we're going to go ahead and drop back to what you just said of what's happening today. All right? I want you to hold that thought, what you just said, because I'm going to come back around to it. All right, of what's happening today. So the first topic we're going to get into, and Janet, again, thank you for making up the itinerary. Andrew Brown's
no
shooting is being called. I'm sorry?
Oh, I just
okay.
said no problem.
Okay. Andrew Brown's shooting is being called a lynching. Okay, so let's look at the whole thing. We haven't seen the video. We've seen the aftermath, a video that shows what happened after the fact, right? Now, the family saw 20 seconds. We all know this now. 20 seconds of the video. I would think there's more body camera, more dashboard camera to show what had occurred prior to them shooting this man. According to the family and the attorneys, his hands were on the steering wheel. Now, we haven't seen any of this, but this is what we, you know, is being told. A judge says he doesn't want to release the video publicly. And then I start thinking, you know, this is crazy. We're seeing this type of shit. Excuse my language, you know, you guys. This is a PG, but your child is 13 and older. They know that word. But this is the type of shit that happens almost every week, if not once every other week, in the black community or to black people. I haven't yet seen anything about a black officer shooting a white person in these same type of scenarios. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure some folks who are listening are probably going to say, well, Michael, you're making a racial thing. Well, yeah. It is a racial thing because that's what we're seeing. Well, the media is just bringing up the whole thing about officers shooting black people and white officers. No, not just white officers. There's been officers who are part Asian, like Officer Tao. He wasn't the one who actually physically was on George Floyd's neck, but he was standing there watching him being killed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Other officers of Hispanic descent have been involved in shootings and didn't get a day in jail or investigated. It was considered justified. So now with Andrew Brown, why are they not wanting to release the video for the public to see? Now, I think I have an idea why. Because I think it's going to be too graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And it will definitely bring an uprising. They know this. More so than the George Floyd, I think this video, if they really showed every officer's camera, if they had them on, that's the question. Did every one of those officers have on their camera? And they're in the dashboard cam. Because, you know, when officers surround an individual, their dashboard cam is running. So you're going to see different points of views, right? Different angles. Who's that officer standing over there shooting? Okay. Who's that officer over there?
But the judge says, no. I want to go to Janet first. And Officer Crenshaw, I want to keep you last. Janet first, and then Timon, you chime in after Janet, if you don't mind. I'm not trying to talk to you guys like you're school kids, but I want to hear Janet's point of view of it. And then also Timon, and then Officer Crenshaw, due to his experience. What do you think about that? Why do you think he did that?
Like you said, I think it was too graphic and too incriminating, and that's why the judge wouldn't let the video, the cam be released, because it's, I mean, from what people told, he had his hands on the steering wheel. They had blocked him in the driveway, and then they start shooting. And then he tried to pull and get away to keep from being, I guess, killed, and they end up shooting him in the head. So I think it's too incriminating, but I think eventually it's going to have to come out. Thank God we got an attorney general that is not trying to hide things, and it probably will end up being a full investigation, and that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Timon, your point of view.
I believe that, one, it's North Carolina. It was in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
It happened. Was it in North Carolina? Right. Okay,
yes.
So it's the South. So the South is always, you know, the way they do things and every, you know. And but also you have to, you know, the reason why they're not releasing and they only show the 26, because you're right, Mike, it is graphic. And it is going to, it would set some stuff off. And they're trying to make sure they got all their ducks in a row. Okay?
Amen.
Remember, they got to make sure that they got, you know, we ain't trying to, like, cause remember, if they put that out, Mike, they'll burn it down. They'll burn down the whole city. So they want to do this right, step by step. And they're trying to cover their behind, everybody, because everybody's job's on the line. See, this coming from the top down. You know, like that one cop over there, and when that lady shot that 20-year-old, what that chief do? Did he not quit? He resigned.
Yep.
Because
he
couldn't
resigned.
Before. He tried.
Mm-hmm.
And they got it. So,
and it wasn't like, man, it wasn't like he was planning on resigning ahead of time. This pushed him to resign. So you got to think about
that. He did not want to have to explain that. Go ahead.
No, but you brought up a good point that when you look at that, he don't want to be in the middle of the mix. But he could be when the court case comes. He could be subpoenaed to testify, and he could take the fifth all he wants. He could plead the fifth all he wants. But he could be subpoenaed to testify. Officer Crenshaw, your point of view now.
Well, it's like Timon said. They're trying to get all their ducks in order because, first of all, they pulled up in a pickup truck. So there's probably no car video.
Good point.
But they should have had bodies on or... being a drug task force, should have had someone already set up doing surveillance video recording. Now, based on what I've seen and read, if he saw them coming and got in the car and refused to get out, by federal regulation and guidelines, they're not supposed to discharge their weapons at a vehicle. Only if that vehicle is being used as a deadly weapon against them or someone else, then you discharge your weapon at a vehicle. So if there was a deputy approaching the driver's door, he's not in direct view of the vehicle. I don't know. We haven't seen all the video. If there was a deputy behind the vehicle, when he put it in reverse, and the deputy approaching the door thought his partner in the rear of the vehicle might have been in danger, he would be justified in discharging through the driver's window at the driver.
Right.
Once he spun that vehicle around and got away or was driving away and no one was in danger and they were, he was not using that vehicle to run over any other officers as he was fleeing and leaving, the shooting
right.
should have stopped. No way he should have been shot in the back of the head.
Right.
Only
correct.
If he was using that vehicle as a weapon to harm them or a third party. Can you discharge
and,
now,
based on the scenario that you just said, that if this officer came up towards the driver or passenger side, as you said, we have not seen the video. But
right.
let's look at the hypothetical scenario that you just put together. Either way, if he put it into reverse, he was shot in the back of the head. So
right.
that
well,
officer who walked up on the well, they said that he was shot in the back of the head. That officer, if based on what you just said, had walked up on the passenger or driver's side, he would have been shot somewhere like towards the temple, you know, the side of the head, not the back, right?
Well, they said
he wasn't just shot in the head, though. Wasn't he shot in other places? I know that, but
from the driver's side door. So if
so, how are you shot in the back of the head from the driver's side door?
And this is hypothetical. From my opinion, that shot came from a distance. As he had gotten away and was driving, this is just my opinion, because once he got shot in the back of the head, he crashed. If he was shot in the back of the head up close, that vehicle wouldn't have went anywhere else. The motion in that vehicle wouldn't have went anywhere. He would have crashed right then and there.
Right.
And the fact that, Mike, look, as I've said before, what they're going to have to answer to, all these different cities, if the man is running away from you, why are you? I had this discussion yesterday at my lounge. Dude was trying to tell me, you know, y'all making George Floyd a martyr. I said, I'm not making him a martyr. I'm not even making him a hero. He didn't deserve to die. None of those
correct.
Dudes running away should be shot in the back. How is he a threat
right.
to you if he's going away from you?
That's
correct.
Right.
You have to learn how to de-escalate and I'm sure Officer Crenshaw knows this, you know, that there are certain situations like say Officer Crenshaw, when you if you saw the George Floyd situation and the dude calls you in there and says, hey, you know, he called the cops. You being a veteran police officer, you walk in and you say, what is this for? Well, he gave me a $20 bill. Okay. You the one out there, I'd have handled that. I know you would have handled it. I'm not going to put this man in jail for
$20.
Hell, I'm going to pay here, bro. Do you need something to eat? What are we doing this for? There was a better way to handle that than to say, I'm just going to throw the man in jail. I got four cop cars. Well, I need four. I mean, I got four police officers here to take this dude in for $20. Same with Michael Carter. Why couldn't they just get the guy that got choked out in New York? Why couldn't they just give him a ticket and call it a day?
That's right. That's right. And why would your person stay in the area if they knew that they gave somebody a $20 bill? He's sitting outside chilling, you know?
Right.
Mm-mm.
But you know what's so ironic about this whole thing that you guys just said? And this is what I always go back to. And when people say, and there are folks that I work with, there's folks that I know, and I have this discussion about the George Floyd murder, because it is considered murder now. Not a killing. You know, it's been proven in a court of law that this was a murder. What gets me is that the cost to make a $20 bill is 11.2 cents per note. 11 cents.
this man was really technically murdered for 11 cents. Let that marinate.
Right. Right.
For 11 freaking cents.
Now, Mike, you... Yeah. Now, Mike, you guys are having big problems there in Georgia. I know you saw the thing that I posted about the librarian that they body slammed, the older lady.
Well, hold on a minute.
If you're going to talk about that, I won't say nothing. I didn't know you were going to talk about that.
Yeah,
no,
I could say that probably
go ahead,
next.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have an itinerary, and no disrespect, but we have an itinerary we want to go with. But I brought that up.
I didn't know you had it on the list. No problem. We can go on. Go ahead.
In fact, you being a one of our new co-hosts, and by the way, everyone, Simon Chip is now an official co-host here on the TNGS. So welcome, Simon. We appreciate you. Because you're always here, you've got some great stuff to share with us. So we thank you so much. Whenever possible, you're always here. But you're pretty much here every Saturday. So.
Well, let's hear it.
About time.
Time in.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
You know, I mean, it's right. It's about time, you know, and I truly appreciate you, man. I really do. Fantastic. And I'm just love when you chime in with your knowledge. So let's keep it rolling, though. I'm trying to find something here on the board, and you guys just bear with me because I know I uploaded this. I know I did. And I'm scrolling down, so it should be here. But where did it go? All right, I'm going to go ahead and keep it moving while I look for it. Okay, so now where we stand with this, and we're going to move on to our next topic, is what happens next? What happens next with this case? You know, it was almost a year before this recent officer, I don't even want to say his name, was found guilty. Then we got the lady officer. It might be another year before she goes to court. And now we got this situation of Brown, which there's multiple officers involved, just like the George Floyd one. But it's being hush-hush. What's next? You know, and how much can people take? You know, I've seen folks who posted. In fact, I'm not one to watch the Academy Awards, but what Regina King said at the start of it, which was the worst Academy Awards as far as viewership now, not saying it's the worst, but, you know, we are dealing with a pandemic. Worst viewership in history. But her opening statement was very profound. Her being a millionaire, an actress, you know, and this and other, and her saying that, you know, hey, look, I know some of y'all going to hit your remotes when I say this and change channels, but, you know, I got a child. I got a black son, too. Some people take offense to that type of statement, but people have to look at the fact that that's the reality that we live in, because this is what we see every day or almost every week or almost every month on television, an unarmed black individual being killed over some stupid shit. As Officer Crenshaw said, if they're fleeing, you know what? If they're fleeing on foot, the car is right here. You know that it's registered to somebody. You got the license plate number. You got all the information. You can find out who that person is. Let them know. They ain't shooting at you, right?
Right.
Don't kill them because they ran. you need to stop eating them damn donuts at all the donut places and get in shape.
What's
some
down,
officer
Mike? What's
now.
Down, what's
not,
down,
not,
Mike?
I'm sorry. I'm not talking about you, Officer Crenshaw.
What's up?
But I'm serious. I've seen some officers, and I'm like, how the hell is he going to chase me? That's the one you don't run from. And I'm not saying that to be funny, but the truth of the matter, some I think that, you know, you better look at the shape of that officer or what shape they're in. Because if he's a big guy, kind of overweight, he's the one who probably might shoot you because he ain't going to chase you. And I'm just being honest. He might be the one.
Mike, I didn't start eating donuts until after I retired, okay?
Okay.
I told him, Officer Crenshaw. I told him, watch out now. Don't go over there, Mike.
All right, you guys, it's 6:46. Let's move on to our next topic. I don't want to stay on this for a whole hour or two. And by the way, if you're listening in to the show, if you have a question or comment, and you want to join us, go ahead and call into the show. The number is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Make sure you hit the number one so I can see that you're on the board and open up your mic. It's a beautiful Saturday here in the ATL. And by the way, Time and Ship, our new co-host here, he's in California. I'm sure the weather is nice in LA right now, right?
Oh yes.
Fantastic.
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah.
So you got good weather pretty much. Well, I can't speak for other states, but in California and Georgia it's nice. So we're having a nice conversation and getting into some really interesting things that have happened over the past week, and no telling what the next few weeks is going to come through. Now, I already said about the judge that denied the police body cam. We already went over that. But back here in Georgia, where myself and Janet and also Crenshaw reside, the feds have charged the three men for a hate crime and attempting kidnapping of Ahmaud Arbery. Now, this is going to be an interesting case. Isn't it sad how, you know, things are going on? But this is going to be an interesting case because the state wants to charge him and the federal is going to charge him for a hate crime. People are saying that's double jeopardy. So, again, I want to go around the board, let Janet chime in first, Time and you next, and also Crenshaw. Tell us what you know from your experience. Do you believe that this is a double jeopardy thing with a state charge and a federal charge?
No, I don't think it's a double jeopardy because of the circumstances. He was jogging, and I know it for myself, how many times in the past that I have gone into houses that were being built to look at the, you know, the things that are in there and you know, see how, you know, they're putting it together and how nice it's going to be. And that's
right.
All he was doing along with everybody else, you know.
Right.
And he was stalked and killed, you know.
He was
and,
right. Mm-hmm.
And even the owner of that property said that he didn't see anything wrong with him looking at the stuff because he wasn't stealing, you know.
He didn't steal anything. Right.
So, yeah. So I don't think it's a double jeopardy at all.
It's funny that you said that because, well, you know where I live. Officer Crenshaw know where I live. New subdivision where they just built, 100 new homes directly across the street from where I live. And, I mean, I've walked over there and walked inside of them before they were closed in just to see what the floor plans were and everything. I never had any problems, thank God, you know. But, you know, just to take a look. I was like, oh, okay, you know, way it looks. So, right, it shouldn't be a crime because I don't know if they consider that trespassing, you know, because there's no sign, say, that says,
yes,
you know, not go beyond this point or anything. You know, there's nothing posted when they're building them, and they're just shells of a house, and you're just getting an idea of what it might look like when it's finished. Good point. I like that you brought that up, and that's what basically he was doing. Timon, what's your thoughts on that?
The reason why they're getting him for the extra, look, they trying to send a message, Mike. They got to stop this crap, okay? We've been trying to stop them from bumping off brothers for years.
That's right.
Okay, and it doesn't, it seems like it's never enough. It's never enough that what we can do to get people to quit messing with black people. Leave them alone. So what, he running through a neighborhood? It's just like that other fool who was a military guy went after that kid who was walking through the neighborhood. Telling, you live around here? What do you care?
Well,
I ain't bothering you.
We went through
the thing with what's my kid, the Stand Your Ground Law in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name?
They was
Trayvon Martin. George Zimmerman was the one who killed him.
Right. I'm just saying, you got Trayvon Martin, who was 17, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can go all the way back to Emmett Till. Look, bro, how many times do black people have to just be minding their own business, walking through a neighborhood, and you're gonna get out your car, I ain't got no gun? You gonna approach me with a shotgun, man? You got to stop this, or they gonna mess around.
And they tried to brush it under the rug, but because it was an ex police officer, I think, that was involved in this with his son.
Yeah.
So they were gonna try and sweep that under the rug, but it ended up coming out anyway, and that's why it was elevated.
Right, the father and son. Just, right.
They just have to stop it, Mike, because you know it's like. Whenever you, like, even during segregation, you told us that you didn't want us to, you said, oh, we don't want to be around now. Okay. So we build our own neighborhood. What do? You burn them down.
Burn it down.
So what do we got to do, man? I can't run down the street in 2020? Mm-hmm. I can't jog?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I was going to steal something, I'm going to take it.
I'm not trying to make no excuses, but the things that were there, they assume or they said, there was some break-ins in the neighborhood. But you know what's so funny? The people who break in the most houses in a neighborhood are probably your neighbor, okay? Because they're the ones who's watching your ass when you go to work, you know? Honestly, it's been, and you could do the research, it's been pretty much proven, correct if I'm wrong, but what I looked at is that we'll come to find out that majority of the times the break-ins that happen in a neighborhood are due to people who live in that neighborhood. They see you. They know your routine, when you come home, when you leave home, you know, who's there, who's not there, who lives there. It's very seldom someone who just comes out of nowhere. Ain't nobody from Southside Atlanta going to come all the way up here to Northside and break into a house. They just that just don't happen. It really don't. What the hell do they know? It's someone who's staking it out, someone who's close by. Believe it or not, in a lot of cases, it's a friend of yours' friend. It's a friend of yours, friend, that introduced you to them, and they got a chance to come inside your house and see what you got and be like, oh, okay. Now, I'm not saying that your friend is involved in it, but your friend is with you. And Officer Crenshaw can correct me if I'm wrong, because I think that he might have seen these type of situations happen. But it's a friend of your friend a lot of times. Because you've given that opportunity for someone. Yeah, just give me a second.
Yeah.
You open up an opportunity for someone to see your personal belongings. No, most people don't break inside of a house if they don't know what they're breaking inside of it for. Unless, you know, if you got a nice house, you know, they're going to assume, oh, they must got some jewelry, some this, that, and the other. But just an everyday Joe, a person's not going to break in that house unless they already staked it out. Go ahead, Jen.
Well, I just wanted to tell a little quick story. Years ago, when my kids were small, we used to leave like midnight to go on a vacation or wherever we were going. And just so happened this time, and it was a neighbor who had been in my house, knew what we had in there, and we were getting in the car, and my husband had the nerve to tell him we were going out of town for 2 weeks. We came back, our TV, our stereo, our vacuum cleaner, and those Kirby's at the time were expensive. He went in and took all our stuff, our record player, you know, anything that was of any value that he took.
If it wasn't nailed down, it went out the door.
That's right.
Did y'all get him? Did he go to jail?
No, we didn't do anything because we knew who it was. We just called the police and our insurance company reimbursed us.
Right. They couldn't prove it. They couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
See, back then, we didn't have Ring doorbells with cameras and shit like that.
No,
right?
We sure didn't.
You do.
But
we didn't have security cameras.
Knew we were going out of town.
Right.
Because we didn't tell nobody else.
There you go. So, moving forward, Officer Crenshaw. Go ahead and chime in on that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're right. Most burglaries happen within your neighbor's kids, or whatever, because we make the biggest mistake of failing to use common sense. We go buy a flat-screen TV, and we put the big-ass box out there at the trash can letting everybody know we got a flat-screen
TV. Yep.
Hey, wait a minute. I have to interrupt. And you bring it home in the middle of the day. Everybody sees you unloading. And by the way, even when you're moving and you move into a new resident, you do it in the middle of the day. Everybody sees what the hell you're moving into the house. Be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
I notice most people try to move at night now. But go ahead.
You know, you go get your neighbor across the street to help you bring your washer and dryer in the house, you know, that you just bought in. And then, like Janet said, oh, by the way, you mind watching the house? We're going out of town for a couple of weeks, and we'll be back. Well, boom, shit, I got me a washer and dryer. You know? It happens.
And you really don't
know
that neighbor. Right. You really don't know that neighbor.
Right.
But they didn't want you to have it anyway.
In some cases,
here's the biggest. But you know what? And I want you to finish, but because you make me think about, because I know some friends of mine who've dealt with that. But here's the biggest mistake: is that you move into a neighborhood or whatever the situation is, or you have a neighbor that you really don't know, you know. But you know, you wave a hand at them this end of it. Hey, I'm moving. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, it's timing. So you just told them, I'm moving. They're watching you, right? They're watching you.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying attention to what you're doing. So they tell somebody else. Now they got an alibi. I'm at home. I had nothing to do with it. But now you're giving them an opportunity. You're giving them the time to come and rob you. They know your place.
Your family members have come in and taken your stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I know that from experience. It wasn't my immediate family, but it was another family member that was I don't want to really go into detail, but it was this a troubled young man who was married to a family member, or his mom was, and what happened was, hell, he didn't give a damn. And he had his homies rob the damn house. You know?
I had a family member who did that, but they took my check, and fast as I deposited my paycheck in the bank, they were making a withdrawal. And I had my dad's account at the same time, so it was all the accounts in together, savings and checking. So when I fell short, they took money out the savings and put it in the checking. And I wasn't aware of what was going on until I got canceled checks.
Right.
And it was like over $10,000.
Yeah.
But you know what I love about this show is that we'll start a topic and then we'll go into something else. We'll tie it all together.
Well,
and that's what we just did. That's what we just did.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Mike, you know, when y'all was talking, I went to jail at 4 years old because my brother was supposed to be babysitting me, and they was robbing this dude, his friend's aunt's house across the street and loading it up in my mama's house. And,
oh, my goodness.
And so when my sister, so when the cops came and they, you know, they saw me getting in the car and I'm in the window, I said, hey, how you doing? And they said, ooh, mama, Timon then went to jail. And they went down there, and and that's what she told my mother, the Timon that went to jail, and had no idea that my brother and his buddies were robbing this dude's auntie's house across the street, and
yeah,
loading it up and walking across to my mother's house and loading up her house.
Mm-hmm.
And see, at that point, the neighbors are like, well, I ain't seen no cars, but I saw somebody carrying something across the street. You might want to check the house across the street, officer. You know,
oh.
You know that type of stuff. But
yeah,
that's, but see, that's the thing. And we're going to swing back around. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to swing right back around to everything that you just said and what we're talking about. So let's move forward. But the three men who did this are all being charged with hate crime. It's going to be really interesting. And one thing I wish that and kidnapping, right?
And
exactly.
Yeah.
And kidnapping. But it's going to be interesting. And I really want us to always follow up on these stories, because this is murder here, though. It's no joking matter.
Mm-hmm.
This is murder. And someone needs to answer to this, these crimes. They can't be swept under the rug. You know, they stretch out court cases for years or more, a year or more, before they actually do anything about it. So let's move forward. And go ahead, Officer Crenshaw, you want to chime in?
Yeah, real quick. They're charging it with a hate crime because of some of the wordings that was used.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really sick of the politicians hiding behind the desks, the office, the senators, the congressmen, you know, the lawyers, hiding behind articulation of words. You know, if they're going to do it as a crime, do it as a hate crime because it was a hatred of his skin color.
Mm-hmm.
You now have a law that has been passed for Asians, and transgenders have their own hate law.
True.
And the Asians got theirs because of what? A year's worth of hate because of what Trump preached. And
mm-hmm.
we've been fighting for over 400 years and still don't have our own because of our skin color. What's wrong
right.
with this world? But the politicians don't seem to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as their wallets get as fat as their ass and their bellies, they don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's upsetting. It's really upsetting. You know, you can be transgender and have your hate law. You know,
mm-hmm.
when are you going to just
here's that law, though, but that they're trying to pass, which passed the House, but it has to pass the Senate, which is the George Floyd law, right, that they're trying to get passed. The Senate is the
mm-hmm.
one that's holding up. It's the Senate that's
right,
holding
but,
up. And
but
it,
that's
the Senate
not based
is.
On the color. That's not based on the color of his skin. See, the hate law entails some type of hatred has to be initiated in order for it to be proven a hate crime. You have to use
True.
The N-word. You have to say the F-word, you know, or whatever, in order to be able to articulate that it was a hate crime.
It's a hate crime, right. Because that was never used in the murder of George Floyd. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
It was never used.
So you can be charged with a hate crime if you walk down the street and you knock an Asian to the ground. Oh, you hate Asians. Boom, we're going to lock you up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you did that
like
to a black man, probably get your ass handed to you. But you're not going to get charged with a hate crime for knocking a black man to the ground.
Right. That's a good point. I'm glad that you brought that up because we haven't seen that. And I will be surprised if we ever do. But we haven't seen that being brought forward.
But when are our so-called black leaders and politicians going to fight for that? We bring it up. Mention it. They don't fight for it.
But you know what, Officer Crenshaw? Remember the anti-lynching law that they tried to get passed?
Right.
I mean, Rand Paul blocked that. Rand Paul and Cotton. Can you imagine? Now, I understand. If we can't get the anti-lynching law signed, and I remember the debate Cory Booker and Kamala Harris put to those guys, and they wanted to block that. And so here it is. You say, hey, why ain't we got a black law? And we should. But we can't even get anti-lynching. And it ain't like it didn't happen. We know it happened.
It still happened.
Overall, they don't give a damn about us being black, period.
There you go.
As long as they get out of us what they want.
Look, the lynching
law that they tried to get passed,
the lynching law that they tried to get passed, as you said, okay, was shot down. Rand Paul and a host of others.
Tom Cotton, which is,
and I'm pretty sure many more, shoot it down, but it's like, do you know there's probably a lot of lynchings that we don't even hear about still going on. But these guys, as you just said, they're going to shoot it down. Who should be lynched where some states, and I don't know if it changed, but I know that I think it was Illinois or I forgot what state it was. When it came to executions, you could be lynched.
My distant cousin was lynched and if you ever see that picture in Ebony magazine, those brothers that are hanging from the tree and everybody's standing around, one of those guys' name is Thomas Shipp. Last name is Shipp. The distant cousin. They were on their way home, and this is at a time in Marion, Indiana, when they were lynching. Brothers was getting lynched throughout the United States at least three a week.
Right. But what I'm saying is that
we can't even get an anti-lynching law.
But there were some states, okay, and I have to do my research. I'm not going to speak too far on it. But there were some states when it came to executions, let's say you were charged with a crime, right? Instead of electrocution, some states had where they would still lynch you as execution. You follow what I'm saying?
Mike, that was the big thing behind Black Wall Street.
And that wasn't long ago. That wasn't long ago. It wasn't like back in the old days.
No.
None of it was.
That's why we're saying in 2020, we could not get an anti-lynching law. And Officer Crenshaw just said, they got an Asian law, but you can't get a black law.
Right.
And they weren't lynching Asians. They were lynching black folks. And that's what I was saying. It's really the fact that we can't get the things that we need. Didn't matter what black folks did. It's just, like you said, they don't care. They don't care.
Right.
So everybody's going to focus on money.
Because it really surprised me. I mean, I'm 59 years old, and I thought that lynching was just something that happened back in slavery days. And then, as I got older, I realized, racist folks were lynched. But then to find out that certain states had lynching still on their books as far as execution, do the research on it, that they can they can actually legally do that. They can actually lynch you.
You know, so that's what he told me.
Yeah, we have talked in the past, 2018, 2019, 2020, about people being found lynched here in Georgia. And people were saying last year around May that Ahmaud Arbery was lynched because they, you know, three white men attacked him and killed him.
Now, you know what, Mike, you know why they stopped doing hangings, right, in the United States? Because, you know, people used to, you know, have picnics and put the food together, and they go to see the local, you know, hanging and everything. Well,
I
they got that. To the
yeah.
point.
I heard the term. I want you to finish, but I heard the term that picnic meant pick a nigga. But go ahead.
Right.
That's what
so
I heard.
It started to get pretty grotesque because you have to get the weights right. And if the weight don't, when they pull that lever and that door drops open, if you don't do it right, if it's too heavy, you can rip the neck right off. Or the dude will be sitting there just choking to death. And he ain't dead.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to stop. Mm-hmm. The same with the electric chair. They had to, you know, they had to stop it because sometimes, you know, they didn't do it right. And then the person is sitting there frying like chicken.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just let you guys know what we're going to do real quick. And I'm looking at the chat room. Let's see. Bringing It Boy is in the chat room and chime in and post a couple of things. So I'm going to go ahead and read a few of his posts. Then we're going to take a quick music break, come back, move on to our next topic. Bringing It Boy, don't fill up my board, okay? I'm going to try to read a few things, okay? I can't do that. You can call in if you want to, all right? The number is 516-531-9861, okay? You're posting stuff here that you can easily call in and share with us. But the first thing said, but did you read the bill? That's not fair for the caller to use that pic of the lynching back then of that one was his cousin. We're all cousins. Okay. All right. So I'm going to keep on going for a minute. Then if you bore me, Bringing It Boy, I'm going to stop reading your post. Is Tar and Feather still going on? Has to equal lynching against Tar and Feather. I don't understand that. You didn't type it right. Lynching and hangings are a separate issue. Hello, Michael. Okay, I stopped. Okay, well, thank you. But when you post, make sure you got it right so when I read it on the show, people can understand exactly what you're trying to say. Slow down, all right? Slow down. Don't type so fast. Use the right words. Trust me. I know this from experience. All right, so Tar and Feathers. But the thing is that what Timon's saying, lynching is okay, my bad. Okay, Bringing It Boy, thank you. Lynching, as I said, has been a thing that has been in some states, and we're going to have to go back on that, take a look at it. It's been on the books. In some states, it was allowed for a long time. I don't know if they took it completely off, but some states might still allow it. We have to take a look into that. We got to talk about that. Hey, you guys, great conversation. We got some more coming, and I don't want to run out of time because we got some more topics to talk about. Oh, we got to talk about. Oh, my goodness. We definitely got to talk about Rudy. Come on, man. Come on, Rudy. You know, the nation had the deepest respect for Rudy Giuliani doing 9/11. Whew. What you doing, man? Come on now. And then Matt Gaetz, paid for sex with a minor, according to Joel Greenberg. That's according to Joel Greenberg. I'm not saying it. This is what Joel's doing. See, some people will throw people under the bus. I like to say, no, he threw him under the train. A bus, if a tire runs over you, you might get a broken bone. A train, you getting chopped up. And he's about to get chopped up. Rudy is. If this information is correct, Rudy Giuliani, who was a hero during 9/11, is about to be the worst and most disrespected man, or lawyer, I should say, in history. Hey, you're listening to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show. We got a lot more to talk about. We'll be right back. Music break. Let everybody get a breather. This is 3TOB. We'll be right back. That's 3TOB, the original. And those are the original members of Tony. That's right. We've been blessed to have, Amar Khalil, and also we always call him EB, Elijah Baker, on. They're going to come back and join us in the not-too-distant future. They got some great stuff. And if you ever had the privilege to see Frankie Beverly and Maze perform prior to the pandemic, oh, my goodness, the guitar player in that band is the one and only Mr. I mean, Juba. Just call him Juba. Go to YouTube and check out some of the clips and check it out. That's called Never Gonna Give You Up, and they got a lot more stuff coming your way shortly. Okay, so let me go ahead and move forward into the show. And the topic I want to go on, I'm sorry, I got to try to bring it up. I got to keep switching from screen to screen here. Rudy Giuliani. I mean, come on, Rudy. They've been investigating you when Trump was in office. Trump's people was investigating you. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, yeah.
They were investigating you. And Trump threw you under, not the bus, but the train. Now he's backing up and saying, oh, Rudy's a good guy. No, your own people that you put in place was checking out Rudy. And the new administration just picked up on him. It's like, okay. Now, Biden says, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with the Justice Department. Am I right or wrong? I let them do their job. I let them do their job. It's just like a president, as I always said. A president always has to pick up where the last president left off. Same thing with the Justice Department. If you're breaking the law, they're going to look at the information. And Rudy's saying, just like Donald Trump did, they don't like me. They hate me, and they hate the president. They hate Trump. Trump ain't the president anymore, Rudy. So, again, I want to go around the board, ask you guys, do you really think there's an issue here? Because according to the media, some parts of the media, Rudy's in a world of damn trouble right now. Some say it's no big deal. What you guys think? Is Rudy really in trouble? Janet, ladies first.
Yes, I think Rudy is in trouble, and it's about time, because Barr, our ex-attorney general, hid a lot of the information that should have came out still in office. And so, I mean, the FBI warned Rudy Giuliani and other people that they were, what they were doing, and that they were, you know, I guess in bed with the Russians, but they still did what they had to do anyway. So, no, I think he's in trouble this time.
Okay. Same order of timing. You think he's in trouble?
Well, first you got to understand, Mike, this is low-hanging fruit. Rudy is low-hanging fruit. And the reason why it's low-hanging fruit.
I love that.
That's right, because we got to now. All of this is connected. I'm not trying to bring in Matt Gaetz, but anything that's going on right now, from the insurrection to Rudy, because once we go Rudy, Rudy going to tell you everything from Russia all the way in to January 6th, because he knew about it. He knew about it before that, Nathan. He's part of setting it up. He set all this up, and it's going to lead back to Trump, but guess what? It's going to lead back to other things that, you know, the other people in Congress who are trying to block the certification. So not only do we get you for what you did in Ukraine by dogging out that one ambassador. See, the ambassador wouldn't fold, and because she would not fold, she told them, oh, no, we'll fire you. Cool, go ahead, because it's going to come up. And if they go back to her and they lay it all out, Rudy and his boy, so what happens is this is how you get Stone again. So you put Stone. Rudy's connected to Stone, right, who's also connected to the insurrection. If they put Stone back on trial and he raises his hand, he'll have to tell the truth. If not, they'll put him in jail for perjury. Same thing they're going to do with Manafort. They're going to bring him back. This is going to be set. And Biden, you're right. Biden's going to say, I don't know nothing. My name is Wes, and I ain't in this mess. But I'm sure.
Right.
But keep me abreast. I ain't in this mess, but keep me abreast of everything that's going on so I can go ahead and get my laugh on when they get through taking you boys down. Because all of y'all going, that's why they deal with whether they're doing the, they want to have a new commission.
Well, when you say that all these boys are going down, everybody thought that Trump was going down. Everybody thought that Trump was going to be, impeaching a way of
it
where
takes
he
time,
could go.
Mike.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Okay. Well, right. I understand your point. You know, I don't like to deal with the devil, but sometimes I have to be the devil's advocate when I'm talking about certain topics of the show. So I have to come to you with if I was the devil, which I'm not, some folks say that I am, but if I was, I'd be like, well, look, I saved Donald Trump from what people thought he was doing everything. But you see, a lot of folks have taken the fall, right? Many have taken the fall for Donald Trump. There's no doubt about that. And many have been, before Trump left, was pardoned. Some who wanted to be pardoned didn't get pardoned, asked to be pardoned through Trump's administration. According to Trump, it didn't go up the ladder enough of the individuals. And one individual is Matt Gaetz. According to Joel Greenberg's letter to Stone, the Stone shows that Matt Gaetz paid for sex with a minor. Now, that's according to this letter, that this actually happened. Matt, come on, man. You ain't Donald Trump. But I'm just, I'm just speculating on this, because I don't know for sure if he actually did it. I haven't heard anything about any documentation, but they're saying that, yes, there's proof that Gaetz did this or had sexual relations with a minor. If he did, that's going to really be a problem for anyone in the Republican Party to defend him, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Do they turn around and just make him a man on his own island? Or do they defend him? Because he's a strong supporter of Donald Trump. Does Donald Trump defend him if evidence comes out that he actually did this? It's out there. It ain't in the court of law yet, but it's out there.
But Mike, I will say, just like Andrew Cohen said, remember, Cohen said, we going to get Rudy and everybody to read their Rudy. They did me the same way. What you think they going to do to you? I told you, you're not getting away. And he was Trump's personal attorney. Okay?
Right.
So they going to get him. Now, what you got to do, though, it takes a while. Remember, the Mueller case took 2 years. By the time they get there, it's going to take almost 2 years, not only to do the insurrection. Before I get through that, that's the reason why they held up all of Biden's legal people. That's why they took them so long to put Merrick Garland in. They don't want them to start building these cases because they know what's going to happen. These cases is coming. They already were doing it.
They were already investigating.
They're going to build cases that Merrick Garland is getting ready to have a field day on these dudes. Mm. They getting ready. They going to open it up, and Biden just going to sit back and watch because they know they did dirt. They going to dig up, and that's why Trump's being sued in Georgia. Well, New York, he got the – matter of fact, he got the cops in Washington, D.C., suing him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming, baby. They it just takes time. It's coming. In my opinion, though. I believe they're going to get it.
It's going to be interesting because here there's still investigations going on with, and now you got all these senators and different people in power that have been investigated, which we just spoke about, wow, it's going to be an avalanche of stuff.
You know what I just saw, Mike?
At least that's what it looks like. Officer Crenshaw, you got the floor. Go ahead, sir.
I just saw a pig flying.
Really?
Yes, and they say when pigs fly, well, Giuliani already can't stand straight up, so he's going to make a very ugly prison bed partner because that's where he's going.
So you believe that they definitely have enough information on Giuliani to actually take him to court and first of all, indict him, take him to court.
His files,
and then,
his files are going to give up everybody else. So the problem that you're going to have with the Republican Party, they're going to want to defend him, the sex dude, but when they find out the gender of
Greenberg,
the minor,
you
know, when they find out the gender of the minor, because we know the Republican high-up people like boys, they're going to step away.
All right. It could be a male or female. I'm not going to speculate on that. But still, again, if he paid for sex, period, of a minor, automatically, you would get charged. Yeah.
Well, they're not going to. Their mindset is they're not going to look at it that way if it's a female. And I'm going to be honest with you. They're going to try to find some kind of way to justify his actions, minor or not, but if it's a male, they're going to throw him to the damn wolves. They're going to throw him to the wolves.
Okay, I follow what you're saying, but that's a hypothetical. If it's a male who looks like a female, but that's hypothetical because the thing is that we don't know the information yet. But
it's,
I understand your point.
You issues the Republican Party, too many issues in the Republican Party with boys in the airport bathrooms and everywhere else.
Right, right. And that is true, where it was boys and everything. But I can't speak on that yet. The thing is that when we start seeing more, but I understand your point of view. If it becomes that way, and to be honest, I don't know if that will really make a difference, but it could. It really could. So let me go to Janet. Janet, what's your thoughts about that one now? Do you think that he would, I mean, oh my goodness, this guy is really a mouthpiece for Donald Trump, who is no longer president, but he still speaks for Donald Trump. He's still, you know, looking at moving up into the ranks of being in politics. But this here has got to be, you know, kicking his ass. How does he respond to this other than saying it's honestly true? Okay, Janet's not responding yet. Okay.
I'm sorry. I had to step away. I'm sorry, Mike. Can you go to somebody else and then I'll step in because
need
to hear what you were saying.
No problem. I'll bring it back around. I see a couple of numbers here on the board. And I just want to invite you, if you want to chime into the show, hit your number one, open up your mic, and I'll let you chime into the conversation. We got a few more topics we're going to talk about before the 8 o'clock hour, and then we're going to have to get out of here. But this Max Getz, I mean, this is a Donald Trump staunch supporter, and now he's in a world trouble. Okay.
But, Mike, you got to remember now, his daddy got money.
Right.
His daddy got about 40 mil. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is filthy rich. That's why he had the attitude that he did, and that's why he thought he could get away with it. Okay, but this ain't gonna be enough because remember he was showing naked pictures in the chambers in the house chamber of who he was sleeping with. He was showing these guys, bragging. Okay? They're not going to stand up for him because they want him gone. This is what Boehner was talking about, the idiots that they let into the Republican Party to them down. He's one of
and
them.
Boehner,
he came
and
to Boehner that time.
And Boehner being a Republican, which, you know, he was
right.
The House Speaker. You guys got to remember, Boehner retired, and now he's speaking out. So 909-319, the number one, I open up their mic and want to let them chime in. Welcome to TMTS. What's the question or comment to this topic?
Hello, Michael?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry. Yeah, hello. This is Green It Boy. The excited one in the chat room now.
I'm sorry. Can you say your name one more time? Hold on a minute. Can you say your name one more time?
Yeah, it's Green It Boy from California.
Oh, welcome.
The excited one in your chat room. If I may come back to you with your last topic real quickly with the lynching, that the Republicans didn't pass the anti-lynching bill because it did nothing for the black people in America. Just the bill was for people around that were abroad. So, you know, that wasn't going to help out here in America. But Trump did sign a bipartisan vote for the Joint Resolution of 49 into law that protects black Americans here in the U.S. with anti-Dems and white supremacy, Dems white supremacy. So he did.
Hold on a minute. He signed a bill against white supremacy is what you just said? Because I can't hear you as clearly. I don't know if everybody else can hear me clearly, but I'm trying to listen closely. So you're saying that he's signed a bill, Donald Trump signed a bill against white supremacy, right? That's what you said?
Yes. Yes, again. But to protect the black people.
And what bill was that? Article what?
Resolution 49.
The 49?
December 17th. Yes.
Okay.
But, Mike?
Well, hold on a minute. Just a second. I'm going to let you chime in. So you said Article 49, and he signed it when?
Back on September 17th.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to give you the year. My notes are kind of screwed up. My notes are kind of screwed up right now. 2017.
Article 49. Okay. All right, Janet. I know, Janet, that you're going to take a look at this. Article 49. So how do I find that? Because since you're bringing it to my attention, tell me how you found that.
I'll Google it.
Yeah. I want to see that. It's 7:30. We have enough time to find out the truth of this. You know, and if you're right, you know, I mean, great. That's fantastic. That you can educate us something that I don't know, if it's
Hello.
Correct. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Bringing It Boy's wife. So I was just going to read you
what
the bill was.
I heard you in the background telling him, you know, my mic is. I mean, my speakers are very good, but I heard you speaking in the background. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Michael. I was actually on the show Real and Raw with you when you had called into the show.
Yes, I recognize your name.
Who's that?
Okay. So go ahead. The mic is open. What do you want to share?
So it's Senate Joint Resolution 49, signed into public law. The public law number is 115-58:131, then it says stat STAT period 1149.
Okay, Jen is going to take a look at that, and I'm pretty sure many of the other co-hosts are going to take a look at that.
I got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Condemns the violence and domestic terrorist attack that took place in during recognizing the responders. That law is for white supremacy and neo-Nazi. What Officer Crenshaw was saying is that they came up with an Asian law that you could not kill Asians. And they were saying that blacks do not have a law stating, you know, toward their race as Asians do. But they did. Trump did put in right into law something against white supremacy and Nazi is what they're saying. But then again, what got him in trouble is he tried to say there were good people on both sides when that situation happened. And I think that was that Virginia or North Carolina?
Virginia.
Where the girl got ran over with the car and they had the tiki torches and everything.
Here's the question. When did he write that into law? Before or after? He did it after, right? Am I right? Okay, he did it after.
I think it was August of, 2017.
Okay, Bright Boy and I can't remember everybody's name, but this was after the fact of an individual white woman was killed and ran over by an individual who was violent. He had to do something. He couldn't just shake it off and just act like it didn't happen. He had to do something. And he did. I think any president would have done that with common sense. But just like Timon said, but he said there was good people on both sides. There wasn't good people on both sides. There really wasn't. I'm going to let you speak up. But just like the sixth that just passed not too long ago, there was good people on one side protecting the Capitol. There was bad people on the other side trying to go after the Capitol. And look at the individuals who stood there on that same day. It was advertised that day that there was going to be a rally. And then the people who stood on that stage, and it ain't Donald Trump alone. Rudy Giuliani, who we just spoke about, he said some things that would incite a riot. Now, me being a black man, had I said that to a bunch of black folks, they would look at me as inciting a riot.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, when Black Lives Matter marched in front of the Capitol, all those steps were covered with military. There was nothing. And you go back and do your research. Nothing said that the group from Black Lives Matter had a plan on going into the Capitol. Especially during this day. But see, that's the difference. You got to look at the difference. You're not looking at the difference. When it's white people walking up there in front of the Capitol of the United States and just marching peacefully, you bring in the military. When down the street there's Trump supporters that march to the Capitol and break into it and threaten to kill folks, you don't bring in the military until it's too late. Come on now. You planned in advance for black folks, but you didn't plan in advance for radicals. I'll let you see. And by the way, whoever has the noise in the background, please put your mic on mute. Or stop the noise. But you understand exactly what I'm telling you. I hope you do.
there's a world of difference here. Granted, Donald Trump, you know, did a bill after the fact, after the woman is dead, after she was ran over. Yeah, he did. He had to do something to show some compassion. But it was way too late. It was way too late. People are sitting and protesting silently. And the president at the time has people go in and tear gas and get them out the way so he can march to a damn church and hold up a Bible for a photo op? Come on, don't forget about that crap. It made no sense. Still don't. But if he signed that, if he did that bill, he did it way too late. He should have been on top of that long time ago. Because it was happening before he became president. And during his presidency. You want to respond? Go ahead. Your mic is open.
Gladly, Chief. He did sign a resolution 115th Congress on April 5th, 2017, a hate crime and any other form of racism, religious or ethnic bias, discrimination, incitement to violence or animus targeted a minority in the United States, taking notice specifically of the Federal Bureau of Investigation statistics demonstrating that among single bias hate crime incidents in the United States.
Okay. Can I ask you a question, though? Can I ask you this?
Yes,
and I mean, no disrespect. You voted for Donald Trump.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
No, I'm saying you voted for Donald Trump, right? If Donald Trump runs again, would you vote for him again?
Twice. Like everybody else
voted
for Biden.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you clearly.
I said I would vote for him twice, like everybody else did for Biden.
So if Donald Trump ran for president again, you will vote for him again. Is what you're telling me, right?
Yes, gladly. Yes, gladly.
Okay. I love your honesty. Okay. All right. So, and I thank you for calling in to the show. I'd love for you to chime in because, yeah, we got a lot of stuff that we try to get in, to, you know, these topics and everything. And I want you to stand by for a moment because we do have an itinerary we try to stick with. But thank you so much for your input. You're always welcome. I do not, never have, you know, I appreciate hearing different points of view. That's what we do. We're a variety show. And love to talk to you outside of the show and see whatever thoughts or process or things that you want to talk about. Because I'll listen to everybody's opinions. This is not a Democrat show. This is not a Republican show. It's just a conversation about Democrats, Republicans, and all kinds of things. We are a variety show. All right. So I got to keep it moving because I'm getting – I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said thank you, Michael. We like listening to your show. And your
I appreciate you. Yeah, I truly appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in. You know, you're more than welcome, of course. If you don't mind, I'll give you guys a call later. And I want to hear some more about what you want to share because I like to hear different points of view. I'm not one-sided. That's what we do. We hear both sides. This is not CNN. This is not Fox News. This is TMGS. And I love for people who have a different opinion to chime in so we can listen to it. You know, I love hearing both sides. And we can all agree to disagree. That's the beauty of it. All right, so let me go ahead and move forward because I have to stick with the program here, and I know I'm going to miss a couple of topics here. So
Let me jump forward to this one here. Tim Scott, the rebuttal that he gave, and we only got 10 minutes left, so we might have to do this real quick and come back to it. The rebuttal that he gave after President Biden's speech, I want to go to Janet first. What did you think about that rebuttal?
Well, as far as the rebuttal, I felt like he was reading a bunch of talking points instead of his real own personal point of view. And I also checked Twitter, and it was trending, and they were slamming him, calling him an Uncle Tom and everything. So I know one of the people in Congress, a female, I don't have to say her name, well, she said she had spoke with Tim Scott several times, and she knew personally how he felt, so she didn't think that what he was saying as far as the rebuttal was concerned was coming from actually from him.
Good point, because according to not just CNN, but many other networks, said that he was handpicked to do the rebuttal. Let me go ahead quickly around the board. And I want to go to Hyman first. What was your thoughts about that rebuttal?
That wasn't a rebuttal. All that was a complaint. If you want Biden to fail that bad, then the whole country failed. Okay? Because right now, Republicans are backing Biden. I'm talking about Republican people. The people are backing him. Now, you're not going to get the Congress of no. These are the same guys that shot down Obama, so you're not going to get nothing out of them. You may have to do reconciliation to get half his stuff passed. These guys aren't going to give him anything. Okay? You wish that they were, but it's a lie. They don't want to help. They want him to fail. It starts with Mitch McConnell, okay? They will not acknowledge that there was an insurrection. The fact that they will not acknowledge what they did to the people of the Capitol building, that they still 70% of Republicans believe that Biden stole this election, that it was not fair, even though all the proof is there. Okay, what else does people expect? This is not a racist country? Please. There are people who are still alive who grew up in Jim Crow. Okay, yeah, you don't have, they ain't just lynching brothers at will, but you got to remember that there were laws in place, things that were done that a lot of folks don't even know if they still exist or not, but they probably are. Redlining, they can still keep you from buying houses and certain properties. You just, if you don't know the game, you're going to get taken. Is it a level playing field now? No. People were complaining about, the affirmative action. But those same brothers that complained about affirmative, they got affirmative action to get in school, not against it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we wouldn't have needed it. So, hey, go ahead to Officer Crenshaw, because I know you are the channel in on that.
No, I'm listening to everything that everybody said, and I agree with you, Timon, 100% on that. I did want to thank the guy from the chat room that came on, him and his wife, for bringing that to our attention. But everyone didn't vote for Biden twice. They only voted for Biden once, and Biden won the election.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to let him know, that I heard that, and it's okay, because like Mike said, we can agree to disagree. So, but thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Well, hey, Mike.
You guys, we got 5 minutes left. And
hey, Mike, I just want to ask you a quick question. I was going to say, you should have asked him, did he get the vaccine? If they love Trump, then they get
the
vaccine.
Well, he's still on the line. I'm pretty sure he can answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to know that he gets the vaccine. Because if you're going to vote for him again, then you should be getting the vaccine.
Oh, he said no vaccine.
Well, and not only that, I have one other thing to say. Congress is the one who does the bill, and it goes to the Senate, and then they pass it. Then it goes to the president. He signs it. But as far as making a bill, it didn't come from him.
Mm-mm. No.
Right. It's just like Schoolhouse Rock. You know, I'm just a bill. I'm just a on Capitol Hill. I remember that as a kid. You know, I learned about politics from Schoolhouse Rock, okay? At an early age. And I was like, okay, I like this song, but what does it really mean? And so that's how I've learned how laws are put into motion. Hey, you guys, I want to thank you so much for being here. Bringing It Boy. Thank you. Hey, you guys, calling in, I appreciate it. Every Saturday, we're right here on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, my co-host, Janet Davis, Officer Crenshaw, our new co-host, the one and only Mr. Time and Ship. There's other co-hosts who weren't able to make it this evening, but you'll be seeing them shortly. Coming up, some great guests, some fantastic guests. Well, Crenshaw and Ship, I told you about, you know, the little thing that I did the other night. Well, the person that hooked me up with that, they're hooking us up with a very, very special guest coming up soon. How can I kind of give you a hint? Well, just creep into the show and you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, so you guys, 3 minutes left. We got to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Always tune in to the TMGS every Saturday. The number is 516-531-9861. And, hey, we'll see you next time. Before you go, I'm going to play this coming soon. Also, as a gentleman who has been on the show before, Mr. Cornelius Mims, a bass extraordinaire. Here's his new single. You could check it out on YouTube. And you know what? Regardless what you're going through, keep walking. Keep walking like you're going somewhere. See y'all next week. Check
and
this out.
I know today that I need that real alignment, man, you know, to keep walking like I'm going somewhere in this camp, man, because my special guest, man, is devastating in my head, you know?
Los the Attic, you crazy for this one, bro.
Hey, check this out, y'all. Hey. This one goes out to all those people out there that might be suffering and looking for a new way to live.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You put one foot in front of the other. Come on, my sister, my brother, and just walk.
That's right.
There really ain't nothing to it. I know damn well you can do it. You just walk. Put down your guard.